Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's good to be back. Shane, thank you so much for covering for me, man, the last couple of weeks. I do appreciate that. So that meant a lot to me and allowed me to handle my family stuff going on. So, and we're back at it now and I'm very excited. Just to let everybody know, if first time viewing or long time viewer, this is Adam, Beach Bum Exotics. You can find me on all the normal socials, Instagram, Facebook, under Beach Bum Exotics with no E, just an X. And you can find me over on Morph Market for available stock as well. And I got my great co-host with me. Go ahead and kick it off.
Shane, Small Town Exotics. You can find me at smalltownexotics.com, which is a brand new website, totally revamped. So go over there and check it out. It's pretty cool. Give me your critiques on that. And Patreon, YouTube, Instagram, all the places. And Jay, our technical producer, is on Instagram and Morph Market under Green Line Morphs. So while you're gone, man, I hope I did a good job. You know, you're the one that usually drives. And, you know, I was like, well, now I'm in charge. I got the weight of the world on me, you know.
Well, dude, I got to catch the replays and I thought you did great. So don't you. Any nervous feeling was not coming off. You did excellent, man.
Yeah, but you know, there was a strategy there. I always made sure somebody else on the show was a talker, you know. So yeah. I was like, okay, I got Moose, he's a good talker. I got Jessica, she could carry a show. All right, I'm good.
Perfect. Exactly. Yeah. I, you know, speaking of the Jessica and yours episode, I thought that was excellent. Great commentary. She pointed out some really good things, like calling out kind of the going back to the old episodes, figuring out some of the predictions we had made, see where we are today and everything like that. You know, I think that would be really fun. And totally whiffed it. Not whiffed it. Actually, I still stand behind that prediction. Desert Ghost, everything, baby. All of it, all day long. No. I'm joking. But, you know, it would be fun to kind of go back and look at some of that stuff and see, you know,
yeah,
5 years has gone by. So
that's something that we could maybe do with her, because she's coming on sometime in September. I have her scheduled. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something we could do. And then we can give our opinions on prior predictions.
Yeah, it's fun, I think. And I just think it was a good idea, like, of hers to really, I think it meant more than just looking at the show. It was also kind of like, hey, do this personally, right? Like 7 years ago, are my goals for my like projects and things that I'm interested in the same then? No, right? How have I adapted? What have I learned? Stuff like that. So that's what, right. You know, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So good episode you guys had.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. We got some exciting stuff up for everybody. Let's see, who do we have in chat tonight? Got Shane being first. Good job, Shane.
I did it from the correct account too, so yeah. I'm doing good.
What's up, Mike? Thank you, sir. Good evening to you. Ashley as well. Good evening. Hey, Shauna, thank you for showing up. And we got Shane again. Howdy, y'all. TFN, Shauna. All right, Tyson, what's up? We got Dale out there. Cool, man. Just thank you guys for jumping in. Appreciate it. Want to give
and thank you, Dale. And thank you, Tyson, for the congratulations. I'm pretty proud of that blue ribbon. It's back there. Yeah. It's on the wall now.
Oh, yeah, man. You got to move that under the U.S. Arc, I think.
You know? Yeah, I got to move it somewhere because it's like right where my head goes. I didn't think that one through. It looked good when I'm just looking at it that way, you know? Yeah.
That is true, dude. That's now huge. Congrats to that. Let's take a little moment and reflect on that. Like, first competition ever to be held amongst vendors at a reptile show here in America that I know of, or maybe recently, I don't know. But taking away best in show recessive, right?
Yeah, so best recessive ball python, that was me. And then our previous guest Moose won best non-recessive. So that was two wins for the state of Tennessee, and that clinched the ball python division right there for Tennessee.
Oh man, crazy. I think there was some favoritism going on. We got to double check. The judges didn't really know. Tennessee went too hard out there. No, I'm joking. But Stunning Animal too, you won with. I thought the markings on it were amazing. So
yeah, I didn't expect to win. I just wanted to put something in that was going to be different, and that paid off. So
yeah, definitely. What were some of the other I know you said you defeated a Pompeii. Do you remember any of the others in the category?
There was a special Pompeii. There was some lavender albino and Candino combos. There was some kind of black pastel clown thing. There's no genetics on none of that stuff. Right. So I recognize this special Pompeii, but yeah, it was, just so everyone knows, there was no breeder names on the animals and no genetics. So
right. The
votes were just purely on the visual appearance of all the animals in all three categories. So there was a gecko category too. So
yeah, right on, man. Hey, congrats. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I hope they continue those and it spreads to other shows and grows. So I think that'll be a fun thing for the community to compete in. And you get bragging rights, bro. You're the first. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've done enough jibber jabbering. You want to bring in our esteemed guest tonight? And I'll let you introduce her since you...
So tonight we have Megan from the Morph Marketer. What's up, Megan?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Shane, congrats. I was celebrating you here behind the scenes. So great.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It actually means a lot. I was pretty proud of it. So thank you.
Good. You should be.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah,
100%. And I love that Alicia, one of the judges, actually took like a it's a win photo like they do at the dog shows where she was the judge looking at the snake. Shane was holding it and smiling. I mean, if you've been to dog shows before, once you swipe to that on Instagram, you're like, oh, that's a dog show win photo. Awesome.
Love that.
Yeah. I didn't know what we were doing. Alicia was just like, you stand here, you do this, I do this. Okay, whatever.
Great. Yeah, great. Awesome. I love that. Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, Shane, I'll let you kickstart, man. Normally I do these things, but for the past 2 weeks, you've been doing good and you line this guest up. So I'll let you drive, sir.
Man, the weight of the world again. So Megan, you first caught my eye on Instagram and your focus was marketing and helping other breeders and reptile people just market and everything. And I am a marketing hobbyist, like no formal training whatsoever. I've just done whatever. So you really caught my eye. And then you have a professional background in that too. So why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. Who am I? How did I get in this? I'm the Morph Marketer across the internet. So that's how you find me in this category anyway. But I've been in the marketing and branding and public relations world for more than 10 years. I went to college for it. I knew when I went into school that this is what I wanted to do, not specifically for reptiles. That's been kind of a happy accident, but definitely wanted to focus on branding and marketing and have been doing it ever since. I've worked in nonprofit. I've worked for big corporate clients. And now I am mostly supporting reptile clients. And I usually explain what I do. I think the simplest way to put it is you guys are subject matter experts. I work with subject matter experts to translate what you're doing, to tell the lay people what you're doing so that there's no confusion, everything's accurate, and it's appealing. So I'm here to kind of help translate the reptile world to everybody else.
I like it. Are there any big brand tactics that you would use with a bigger brand that work for us too?
Oh man, it's hard. Social media is a funny place and you do better when you have money. Doing things organically is really, really hard. And having more money to put behind advertising makes your content do better, plain and simple. Funny enough, a lot of my corporate clients were pinching pennies and saying, okay, you're in charge of our social. We spend a ton of money in these other categories, but none is for you. And you need to do really well here and make this work. So I actually have a lot of experience in, all right, how are we going to catch people's attention without a whole lot of dollars behind it? We got to make this catchy. We have to make it interesting and authentic. So I think that that translates really well. Authenticity, being able to tell your story successfully, does well.
Yeah, that's what drew me to you on Instagram, is you would do these like little reels with like a little tip, and it was like little bite size, like nugget and easy to digest. And I was like, yeah, she's got something going there. And then full disclosure, I've done a consultation with Megan, everyone out there. So, and I really like the results. So
good.
Do you want to go like, what do you offer? How about that? What are you offering to, like, say Keeper Kane in there? He messages you and says like, I need help branding. What, like, where's your approach at? What's your angles?
Yeah. I usually ask people what their goals are, and it can run anywhere from business planning to marketing planning. Marketing is really a piece of a business plan, and I can support all of that. So I always ask people, what are your goals? Let's start there. Where did you start? Where do you want to go? What's your vision? And then we work on it together. So some people are really established and they have a really solid business plan and they have a really established audience. They just need a little bit of tweaking on their social media marketing. So we might have a conversation once that where we kind of go over, cool, what are your social media plans? Do you need help coming up with ideas? Do you need help reaching new audiences? Let's address that. Some people don't have a business plan. Great. Let's have a conversation about the whole deal. Let's pick this apart. And maybe we meet multiple times and we come up with a business strategy. But ultimately, I support folks to be able to do it themselves or to point you towards a specialist if you need one. So if you need a website written, I have somebody who can do that for you. If you want your videos edited by a professional, I can point you in that direction. But my job is to help you strategize how to be successful in any given area that you're interested in.
Right. Yeah. You really helped me. And I even like developed a mission statement. And then
I put
that on the new website and,
it,
you know,
looks I good.
Got it. I got it printed out. So when I drink my coffee in the morning before I go to work, I'm reading it, you know.
That's excellent. I'm really, really happy to hear that. That's really great.
Yeah. So I'm personally working down your plan right now that you lined out for
awesome.
Me. So
that's really cool. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah,
that is cool. One thing that I keyed into that you had said was that in your professional, you know, career, even the big companies weren't really throwing a lot of money over at social media, which kind of gave you that kind of natural homegrown start, and how that related over to all of us. Cause I mean, myself, it's really hard for me to spend any money on marketing and social media and doing stuff like that. Like it's so foreign to me as well that like, I use social media much more from like an old person's point of view of, oh, this is where my friends are. I get to chat with them. I might put out a picture here and there, you know, stuff like that. So once I started seeing your tips come through my feed as well, I took quite a few of them like, oh man, this is pretty cool. I didn't know about that. Or I didn't look at it in that frame. Like the little insights of, hey, this is where you go find your insights, which gives you perspective into like when to post. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a tool I didn't even know existed in Instagram before. So so I thought that was pretty neat. Yeah.
Good. And yeah. I like what you said about, I actually appreciate that you use social media the way that you do, the old person way. Yeah. I would argue that the way that you're using it is very similar to how people have gravitated toward Patreon. It's more of a community, and really Instagram and TikTok and the Gambit are supposed to be that way too. So I actually don't disagree with the way you're using it. It depends on your goals, obviously, but I like the community building aspect, and I always encourage my clients to do that. So I like that you're using it that way.
Hey, right on, right on. Yeah. What's that? how do you track ROI marketing for snakes, such a low intent market with a few websites out there? That's a great question. Diving in deep on that one.
That is a great question. ROI is return on investment. For those of you that don't know what ROI, big fun marketing and finance term. That is a great question. ROI in marketing is really difficult to track, period. It's really difficult to track where things are going. If you are primarily selling your animals online, that does make it easier. So if you have tracking behind all of your links, so if you're using Google Analytics gives you a code that you can embed that gives you a little bit more control over where web traffic is coming from. So if you are really into analytics, you can get a better idea of, okay, somebody saw, I posted a reel at this time with this specific snake that was for sale. At a similar time, within 24 hours, I had 8 people go to my link in bio and go look at my Morph Market page. That is probably the closest you are going to get to tracking those ROIs. It's so tricky because you can't see exactly where people went and how they thought and the process with which somebody saw your ad or your piece of content and then purchased. So it is tough, especially if they found you organically through Morph Market. I think that's difficult to begin with, unless somebody's looking for something really specific. But especially if people are just looking for snakes and they find you through Morph Market, that's all but impossible, unfortunately. So,
right,
tough one. Yeah.
They followed up with one more. We need to talk to Morph Market about UTM or something.
UTM. I don't know. I don't know what UTM means.
Well, if you don't know, then Shane and I for sure don't know.
We need to talk to Morph Market about UTM or something. I'm so curious.
Yeah, we'll see if
utilize. I'm coming up with things now. I'm making things up, so I can't wait to hear what it means.
Yeah.
Put it in the chat, Bruno.
Yeah, yeah, please.
Bruno, let us know in chat.
That's a new one for me. Yeah. Great question.
Yeah. And so Megan, behind the scenes, we were talking a little. So you not really being in the breeding scene and being, you know, involved with reptiles, what made you come over to help all of us crazy people out? What was the desire to be like, you know what, I'm going to take these skills and run over here and help these guys out?
Because she took a look at all of us and was like, man, these guys are horrible. They need help.
They need help.
Oh, here. Hold on. Before you dive into that really quick, Bruno did answer.
Urchin tracking module that lets you know where the traffic's coming from. Uniquely. Yes. Somebody call Morph Market immediately. We need UTMs.
Bruno, you've assigned yourself the task of following up with Morph Market.
I want to know what Bruno's day job is. That's a great new one for me. Okay, I'm going to do some digging after this. Very cool. Very cool.
And Hendo has the comment of the night. Shane is spot on. I don't know what I did, but I did it right. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Digital marketing is Bruno's. Yeah, there you go.
Love it.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So back to the question. Why help all of us, reptile breeders, sellers out, right?
So I haven't kept reptiles. I didn't keep reptiles growing up, and I didn't keep them as a young adult because I married a guy who's in the military and we moved often. And it's only been recently that we've been in one place for the foreseeable future. And I said, you know what? This is my lifelong dream. I want to start keeping. What do I want to keep? And I love research. I love overdoing it in my digging. So I really went down a rabbit hole with, okay, what kind of species do I want to keep? And what does this look like? And what are the requirements? And what do I need to know? And in all of that digging, I did find what I wanted to keep, and it's been just the best, and I've loved it. But I also saw how many subject matter experts there are in this world and how niche it can get. And you can have an expert on file snakes, and then you have an expert on really specific aquatic enclosures and folks who are, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I am really fascinated by this world and saw that some folks had a hard time translating what they were talking about to the rest of the world. And I could see the genius. And I have worked in the past with geniuses who are really good at talking to other geniuses, but may not be able to get their point across. And I thought, this could be really cool. I selfishly want to learn more about this world and want to be involved, but I also have a skill set that would help these folks leverage their expertise to talk to everyone and make more connections. And I talked, I think, on another podcast, so I'm repeating myself, but I'm also a plant person. I love plants. Mm-hmm. And watching the plant, the houseplant industry in particular, really take off, it's become this kind of incredible thing. And I want to see reptiles do that. I want to see the reptile industry become a little bit more mainstream and become less scary and more interesting. And I think that there's so much knowledge in this world. I want more people to see it.
Cool. Right on. Yeah. You know, speaking about the plant world, holy cow, I jumped on Palm Street the other day and was seeing how much some of those were going for too. And I'm just like, yeah. And they're like, and here's your little clipping for like $600. And it's like, yeah, you go, buddy.
Yes. And what are you going to do if it loses a leaf or it, I mean, it's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. So I kind of got into plants because I got panther chameleons. So then now I got plants all over my house too. And like, I have some people in my life that are plant people. And I'm like, what'd you buy? And I'm like, I got this for $35. They're like, you got burned. You shouldn't have paid anything over 25. And I'm like, whatever.
Oh man, you should have just said back, well, I'll make it up when I repropagate that in my warehouse. Y'all don't even know.
There you go.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm propagating them all too. So I'm like, oh, I feel better now.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh man. Yeah. So, I mean, trying to ask you to think of something, you know, from my point of view, I guess, how about this? Somebody who doesn't really like from that old guy's point of view, right? Who's not really like, the real game right now, I guess, is so hot. Or what is one tip that I guess you could pull somebody in with that's kind of easy that would get somebody started that to do better with their account? Like, let's say they get some more followers to, you know, get a little more specific.
Sure, sure. I would. This is going to sound odd. Imagine you're flipping through channels because I'm in my brain. We're back in a world where you can flip through channels. And you find the History Channel or Discovery, and there's a special on about something super niche and nuanced that you know nothing about, but it totally captures you. Whatever they say, you know, it's about some distant planet or some ancient structure, and you have zero expertise in that area and zero knowledge or care, but there's just something interesting about what they're talking about. They have successfully taken their expertise and broadened it enough and made it interesting enough to capture your attention. And then they're going to give you the details. And you're going to be much more excited to hear those details after they hook you. So I think when you're making content, keep in mind, you just pretend you are talking to somebody that has no idea what you're talking about. And that's probably not totally accurate. You probably, if you're a ball python breeder, you're probably talking to other ball python breeders. Just humor me and take it to a totally new perspective and make it unique. Make it interesting. Make it novel. I think that not enough people are doing that. And there's an assumption that everybody knows what you're talking about. And there's an assumption that people know your background or they know the specific morph or whatever it is. I think do your best to come up with something novel. Teach us something. People want to know that you're an expert in what you're doing and you deserve to be seen as an expert. Approach us like we are little curious children and then teach us something.
Cool. Yeah, I like that.
there's something that we all do, and I'm totally guilty of it too, but we speak in our little shorthand speak, like O-D-Y-B-R-S, yeah, blah, blah. And like somebody that doesn't know all the morphs, they're like, what does all that mean? You know?
Sure.
We should maybe spell it out, like Orange Dream, Yellow Belly, Red Stripe, you know?
Yeah. Or
we're lazy.
I ended up here. I started with X and I've ended up here. Even that gives me an idea of where you've been and how you got to this place. Tell me a story. I want to hear why, how, what made you interested in this to begin with. I want juicier details than just what morph it is. You know, give me that too. Snake. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Good way to kind of, you know, kind of try and tell a story, even if it's, yeah, because everything starts seeing like mundane is what kind of, you know, I know Shane was just kind of saying to us, you know, but to somebody coming in and a potential customer, we should, you know, not take that assumption, right? And put it out there, make it exciting.
Huh, yeah. I think everything you're making is an ad and you don't know who's going to see it. And it could surprise you. You could bring in totally new people if you take on a new perspective. So why not?
Right. Yeah.
And I feel that's what we should all kind of be striving to doing, striving to do is like be bringing in new people, especially when there's a lot of people getting out and the market's in flux right now. We probably need some new blood.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, hey, somebody's got to carry on afterwards, right? You know, so if we're not making it entertaining, the new kids aren't going to want to come along. So that's very true. Yeah. So, go ahead, Shane. Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead. You're the driver.
Nah, man. I told you this is your. You gotta go tonight. You gotta go. All right. Well, how about for a podcast? What do you think competing amongst all other podcasts would be? Kind of like the thing that would maybe catch it differently than anybody else, right? Since you've been around the community for a little bit, what's the one thing you've seen all of us doing kind of the same that you would say, you know what, I would change that? And I'm open to brutal honesty. I ask the question.
So, okay.
You know, yeah.
Okay. I have no brutal answer. So I wish I did. I wish I had a super hot take. I really like conversational podcasts. But I also really appreciate interviews. I'm thinking about podcasts outside of the reptile community that have really great formats. I don't know if you've listened to Smartless, but it's three guys who are all celebrities and they interview other celebrities and they get into whatever projects they're working on at the time. But the questions are really about the people and it humanizes everybody. And I really like the human aspect of things. So while I really appreciate hearing about snakes and about lizards and whatever else, and I realize that that's why a lot of people listen, I want to know why you're breeding. I want to know why you're interested in this particular morph or this particular breed. What's your backstory? If you're breeding reptiles, you're probably weird. I want to know about that. I want to hear more about that. I think I'm maybe, and maybe I'm alone in that feeling. I'm curious to hear from other people too. What would that interest them? I want to know about the details of the person's life. I think we can get on your social media right now. We can get on your Morph Market and look at all your animals. And, you know, people have talked about morph this and that all day long. We've heard that episode before. I want to know about what made you do this, because it was something. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And that personal tie, right, again, kind of just brings people in. It opens the door more. I do agree with you, right? Like, I've tried a couple different approaches throughout the year where it was years where it's like, all right, just kind of business only. Nah. And then what's worked out the best for me is making friends, long-lasting friends, networking with like-minded people, figuring out who's not so like-minded and you know, and stuff like that. So yeah. Good advice.
Yeah.
Jay was saying that Jason Bateman kills on that podcast.
He does. He does. It's a great group. It's a good podcast.
I have to check it out. I haven't, I listened to some true crime stuff, you know, and that Freakonomics. I listen to a lot of Freakonomics, like that stuff. So, yep.
I'm not an Aquarius, but I'm so. But thank you so much for assuming. I'm a Virgo, actually. But wow, thank you. Love that.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Jay? What are you, Shane? What's your sign?
I'm Aquarius.
Aquarius. All right. Yeah. All right. Nice, nice.
Adam, what are you?
Aries. I am Aries.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I don't know much about any of it at all. I don't know much.
I know what I am. That's all I know.
There you go. Yeah,
I know how to respond, but
you need to know.
Fire sign.
Okay. There you go. Now you need to know your rising and your moon sign. Those are the those are the follow up questions. You guys need to get on that.
My mother in law knows all about that stuff.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. It's excellent.
So reptile wise, you foster and stuff. What made you want to do that?
Yeah. While I was doing all my digging into keeping, I found a reptile rescue 5 minutes down the street from me. It's the biggest rescue in Northern Virginia, and she does it out of her house. This is Magnum Exotics. I have to plug her. She's amazing. And I immediately wanted to volunteer just to get more experience and be with animals. And I have a dwarf-free tick behind me who is not a paid actor, but she's really performing. I love this. So I started volunteering there and, still do and love it and clean out cages and, go muck and hang out and, awesome. Hold lizards. But I also foster. So I saw how many animals she had and how long her wait list was to bring in animals and saw, okay, wow, there's a lot of this in this community. There are people who get an animal and don't know what they're getting into, don't understand how long they live, didn't do research to see that this animal needs special lighting and now they have metabolic bone disease. So there are a lot of animals that need help and love and I have room. So I have a foster beardy right now who is not the friendliest. He is a spicy boy. And
what does an angry beardy look like? I've never
bless him. I love him. I love him. I think he's so funny. My six-year-old loves him too. We just find him just charming. And he's gotten so much calmer. I think because we accept him for who he is, that's what I've decided that he's calmed down and now he's friendlier. But man, he will hiss. I have never heard a lizard hiss like this boy hisses.
Crazy.
And he flares up and just gets testy.
Does he do the push-ups?
Yes. And he runs around. He has tantrums. So he shows his emotions. He is in touch. So I have a beardy, I have a ball python who's a foster, and then I have a fat tail gecko. Soon I will have a retic, a mainland, who's going to come stay with me long-term foster. So he'll be here with me for probably a few years. And it's been the most rewarding, the most interesting thing. You get to be with different kinds of animals and get to see them go to good homes. And it's just the most rewarding. And I'll always keep probably more space for fosters than I do personal animals because it's just great. It's just a cool thing to do.
That's cool.
What's that process? So you take it in, it's, I'm assuming, unhealthy in some aspect. You get it healthy and then it adopts out somewhere. Is that the basics?
Usually an animal that I take in is underweight or has a personality problem or is recovering from a surgery and will need medication for a little while or in the retic's instance, we need to see how quickly he grows after not being fed enough. So it's more along those lines. So they're not super unwell, but they need some good looking after. And once they're up to weight or we've got some happier smiles on the bearded dragon's face, we'll be at an expo next weekend. We'll be in Fredericksburg with some of my fosters. So they'll be around there. But then, yes, we ultimately find them home. So they're on Magnum Exotics is on social media and she has them up there. She has folks calling, looking for beardies specifically, or I'm interested in getting a boa or whatever it is. And we find them good homes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's real cool. Doing the Lord's work right there. I like
it. There we go.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's been really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked a little behind the scenes on this. Like I think it's very, very cool that you're fostering and working with the rescues. My wife has asked me a few times, like, hey, would you be interested in working with the rescues or doing it? And like, my space is a little too small because running like a breeding program, it would be really hard for me to intake animals like that. I mean, I do have a quarantine process, but like, that's for animals I'm buying to come into the breeding program. And they, you know, anytime a new program or animal would come into that, it would reset everybody basically. And I would be at it again for another 90 days kind of thing. So how do you guys run the quarantine process over there?
I have a quarantine space and they quarantine for 2 weeks and then I can move them into the bigger space. Yeah. So it works out. I don't have tons of fosters at a time right now. I have 3. I think I'll probably max out at 4, maybe 5. So it's nothing. I'm not taking on loads and loads of animals, but enough that it also gives the rescue more space to take in more animals and get them into a safe, healthy environment. So it's good.
Yeah. Lightens the load over there a bit. Yeah. That's cool. Right on. Right on. So if you were to breed animals, now, what reptile would it be if we were going to pick one to breed?
I love retics. Dwarfs are my preferred, but I absolutely love them. And the genetics are super interesting. And I probably dwarf retics.
Okay. All right. Right on. Yeah. Right on. Would you go locality or morphs, you think?
I would want to lean into as much super dwarf genetics as I could, but I would probably go for more morph.
Morph related.
Yeah. I have a snow and she's so pretty. And I got her because of her personality. I got her from the curly haired keeper, if anybody's familiar. And I mean, Abby and her husband, Jody, keep their snakes like dogs. They're so friendly. They are so curious and they feel so safe in their environment. And you can see this one would like to come out and just be a part. So I just happened to get a snow because her personality was delightful. And I'm looking at her and it's like, oh my God, you'd have the most beautiful babies. You just have really gorgeous children. So
yeah. I love it. I've got 2 snows myself. It's a beautiful morph with the retics.
Yeah,
they're super cool. Do you know if it's a purple line? Probably purple line albino.
She is lavender.
Oh, lavender. So she's one of each. Okay, that's pretty cool.
It is.
And I love that about the retics. Quite unique. The ball pythons. I mean, well, I guess you have Candinos, which kind of fulfills like that. But with the retics, for anybody that doesn't know, a lavender is one copy of the white phase albino with one copy of the purple phase creating that. So it's pretty cool. Pretty unique how it's expressive like that. So,
So they got allelic recessives too then.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, I thought was pretty cool. And then the snow stuff is just like with ball pythons, it's exanthic behind it as well. Is there a morph with it? Like a Motley or Golden Child with your girl?
She is an Annery.
Ooh, okay. So
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, I love it. The snow stuff was always my favorite. I got my stuff through Garrett over at Reach Out.
And, oh, nice. I was just there. I was at Reach Out Fest.
Man, if I didn't rupture my Achilles, I'm semi-recovering from it. I'm 2 days out of the boot a little. I mean, I still have to wear the boot, but...
Yikes.
I'll be good. It's all right. You know, December time.
Oof. Okay.
But I had a room bought, and I was just about to buy my plane tickets when it happened, and you know, had the back out. So
next year.
Next year. Yeah, I was going to head out. Are you going to go back, you think, next year?
I'd love to. I was there also visiting the Curly Haired Keeper. So she hosts Pre-Tick Fest at her place so that folks can see her animals and meet her. And it was just a delight. And I went and picked up my girl. So a great experience overall.
Some good marketing right there. Pre-Tick Fest and then
Pre-Tick Fest.
I love it.
Really, really genius.
That
really
was a good job.
Really good.
Yeah. So I heard it was a good. Oh, what's up, Shane? Good.
Oh, I was going to go back to marketing, but go ahead.
No, please go ahead. Go ahead, man.
So if someone's just starting out and trying to make their brand or whatever, like, what's a simple way for them to get started? Are they like coming up with the catchy name and a logo? Are they getting their face out there? Like, what would be your order of operations? Just the basics.
Yeah. I would decide on your name as quickly as possible and then go purchase the domain name. So get online and make sure that you can grab that website. Make sure that you can grab that Instagram handle, that TikTok handle, Facebook, everywhere else. Even if you're not going to use it, even if you're not sure where you're going to live, I would come up with your name as quickly as possible and then go claim everything, even a Gmail. You know, go ahead and make everything with your name on it so that you can claim that. That's tip number one. Tip two is come up with your vision. What do you want this to be? You know where you are. Where do you want to go? Come up with a 5-year plan. Come up with a 10-year plan. Just a simple sentence of this is what I want things to look like. This is how I want to impact the industry. This is where I'm headed. And then I would use, Shane, we've talked about this, use an AI model to talk about coming up with a business plan. So hop on ChatGPT, get on Claude AI, use Gemini and say, here's my vision. Here's my name. Here's what I want to do. Help me come up with a business plan that will help me be successful in this world. Okay, cool. You've got a business plan. Then you're going to come up with a marketing plan. How are you going to market yourself? Do you have money to put behind advertising dollars? Okay, you don't. What does an organic plan look like? That means you're not going to be putting any money behind it. You're going to be creating content that you're going to put out on social media platforms. You're going to put on your website. You're going to stick on Morph Market. So have Chat or Claude or whoever else you're using help you come up with that content. So here's, you know, after you've reviewed my business plan and come up with my marketing plan, based on everything you know about me, put together a really compelling social media plan that focuses on, I'm making this up, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok that is going to gain me followers and attract engagement on my content. I'm willing to be on camera. I have snakes or lizards that I will put on camera, give it some background, and then have it populate something, have it come up with a plan for you. And this is also something I do with people who are just getting started. Let me help you navigate this process because it can be confusing. But before you start creating content, before you start doing all of the social media stuff, you need a name. You need to know who you are confidently so that you can answer that question when you're asked, because you will be. And you also need to know it because your content needs to focus on who you are and spotlight who you are. So get out there as soon as possible and start creating a bunch of content, but know who you are first.
Is that something that's unique in the reptile industry? Like I feel that most of our brands like reflect our personality. That's not something that you see out in other industries though, right? Like everyone knows small towns, like the heavy metal guy, you got Adam's a beach bum, you know, like there's our personality in there, brand.
I see what you're saying. I think that other small businesses can reflect and sometimes reflect personal choices and preferences like that. But you're right. There is kind of something even more tailored to the owner about the reptile industry. Because you're right, beach bum exotics. I can't think of another industry where somebody would be named that. But this is,
not eight, for you. 18 and under industries.
But I love it. I think it's really great. I actually think that the uniqueness and creativity do really well in an industry where you are literally creating art and you're producing new lines of things because they're beautiful. I think that it's conducive to making names for yourself that are also creative. So you're right, Shane. I think those unique names are unique to the reptile industry.
Yeah. So like when I started, AI wasn't a thing. So maybe if somebody's just starting out now, they should talk to AI for a while, let AI learn them and give them name suggestions and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. And it's, I mean, if I know some people, it's polarizing. I know some people really don't like AI. You don't have to do anything I'm telling you. But AI is such a great tool and it does make it easier. And it's such a great creative partner. You don't have to choose the name that AI gives you, but you can ask it for ideas based on all this information you give it. And it might spark an idea that you have totally independently. That's how it worked for me. I worked with AI on, okay, what do I want to name myself? What does this look like? And came up with the Morph Marketer because of it. So highly love recommend. It.
What's your favorite platform or what platform do you use the use most? Ooh. I should say? Or is that inside secrets right there?
No, God, no, nothing is. Nothing is inside secrets. It should all be out there. I think that it's easiest to reach folks on Instagram. So there is a very big reptile community on Instagram and it's pretty diverse and it's easiest to reach the reptile community on Instagram. Facebook is really, really where reptile folks are, but they're fairly segmented and you have to be part of groups to reach individuals, which can be difficult. So Facebook isn't my preferred platform, even though I think that most reptile people are there. TikTok, I know this one's polarizing too, and no one wants to talk about it or to be there, but just listen. TikTok for creative content. So for showing off your animals, for showing off your setup, for quirky moments, for personal moments is great because the algorithm there shows your content to so many more people. I think you're getting in front of so many different faces and that's fabulous. It is because it is showing you to so many people, you're not getting in front of as many reptile people as you might prefer. This is going to get you in front of a broader audience. And some people don't want that. They want to very specifically be in front of a reptile audience, which I get. So I love TikTok for that reason. You can also monetize better as a creator on TikTok. So if you are a reptile influencer, you can be on TikTok and get paid in a much better way. So there's that. YouTube is also great and underutilized. YouTube shorts are similar to reels, and those tend to get more views than folks get on Instagram. So I also tell people to do that, but I'm not following my own advice. And if you go to my YouTube channel, you see there's nothing there. So don't ask me any questions about why I'm not doing it, but you should do it.
That was actually something Shane and I had talked about. We just learned the service we're using for streaming actually has the ability to help out with some AI like clips and stuff. So we're like, all right, let's start using those, right? Use the tools that are provided to us.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm curious to see how it cuts it. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I played around some of our previous episodes and it does okay. It's not as good as Opus. But it still does pretty good.
Okay.
Anyhow. So yeah, good. I'll send some over to you. Be like, hey, which one do you like the best for yours? So
yeah, do. Please do.
Good. Yeah, there definitely seems to be the strongest reptile presence is on Instagram. Yeah. Like I learned that early on.
Yeah.
I agree. YouTube too. I think there's a lot of content there and it is easier to reach folks. I'm just lazy. Isn't that terrible? I'm mostly focused on Instagram, but it's hard. I made a post about this recently, but you can download apps that are totally free that will allow you to post your content across different platforms simultaneously. So you can cross promote anything you want. Let's say you want to put it on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. You upload it to this app and you hit a button and it goes live on all those platforms at the same time. So highly recommend everybody dig into those apps. Social media management apps are what they're called. Some of them cost money and some of them do not. So highly recommend. Great tools.
Yeah, that's my next step on the plan that we went over.
So, excellent. Love to see it.
Good. It's because, like you just named off all those platforms, it's hard juggling them. I've done everything like grassroots and elbow grease. Like, I'm not paying for this. I'm not paying for that. I'm going to do it all on my own. But man, eventually you reach your limit. You're just like, I can't do it anymore. Right? You know,
it's a lot.
I will say, though, Shane, out of a lot of the people I've known throughout the years, has done excellent with the marketing side of things.
Agreed.
He crashed in a long while ago and was like, here I am, right? And, and Joel and I interviewed him on the show way back in the day. That was kind of like when it was, I think, was that your first podcast you did too, Shane?
Yeah, yes, sir. That was, yeah.
But, and that was one of the main reasons we wanted him on, was just because of like how much he was putting himself out there and doing it in a good way where, you know, you felt like you were getting to know him as well.
Shane, you're an excellent testament to authenticity does well. Let people in, let people see you and what you're up to. And it builds trust and it builds interest. It's great.
Is that something that's like unique to the reptile industry, or do you see that in other industries?
I think you definitely see that in other industries, but sometimes it comes across as fake. I think big brands have tried to do that and it's going out of style now. It was kind of this big, as millennials were reaching purchasing power age, the whole vibe for big brands was authenticity. And there's no such thing as authenticity when you're a $1 billion brand and you're selling t-shirts. What authentically what? you're making t-shirts to make money. Who cares? And so things are moving away from that because it does feel silly. But I think that it's very real in the reptile industry. And as you encounter smaller and smaller businesses, authenticity is a big deal. And people want to make sure that you're trustworthy. I mean, they're purchasing something that's alive from you. And they want to make sure that you've taken care of that thing and that that thing has good genes and that you're a good person. And there's more weight to authenticity in the reptile world for sure.
Yeah, there's the opportunity for a lot of scams in the reptile industry. Yeah. So it means a lot to be authentic and let people know you and at least feel like they know you and your personality and all that. Helps them feel more secure with the purchase and all that. So,
yeah, definitely.
And I can understand it. I mean, a lot of these transactions are taking place online where you're not kind of in fit, and it's for not. Like, it's for a lot of money a lot of times, you know? I mean, even $500 is a lot of money, right? Sure. But in the reptile world, that's just barely getting you beginning, right?
Right.
Like, it wouldn't be unheard of to do business with somebody you've never met and maybe spoken less than, you know, 5 minutes with and hand them like $3,000.
Right.
On a promissory note that they're going to send you something in the mail. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it's still... It's cool, but still I step back sometimes like, whoa, like this is how this all goes.
Can I ask you both, when you are purchasing an animal from somebody online in that kind of situation, even in person, you haven't really met this person before, maybe you're at an expo. Do you vet them? And if you do, how do you go about that?
Well, I think I'll answer that one first. I think me at this stage, like I may not know everyone, but I know of the people that would have the animals that I would be purchasing. So I already have a feel. So it's kind of like they're vetted already. And then I would probably make a phone call to somebody I know that knows them. But yeah, there's some kind of vetting. But if you're brand new and you're just coming in with a lot of money, that's got to be scary because you don't know who's who.
Right.
Yeah. For myself, my answer is the same as Shane putting on, like with the hat that I currently wear today. I know quite a few people out there, been, you know, around for over a decade. So if it's somebody that I don't know, I do vet though, right? Like I'll figure out who's commenting on their stuff or maybe ask around, hey, anybody know this person, done business with them? All right, how was your experience? Did you get, you know, anything that I should look out for? That type of thing. Putting on my hat from when I first began, I typically stuck with the big guys because I would read on the forums like, oh, hey, you know, don't do business with 1234 Big Bubba, Louisiana. And it's like, well, you know, okay, yeah. and that was your only kind of like, okay, yeah, don't do business with that guy. Don't do business with this guy. So you heard there were scams out there. So it was just safer to go to somebody like Ozzy or Justin, some of those big names that are out there. Yeah. And then once you navigate and you start forming your own networks, it becomes much easier and much less scary and quicker.
Yeah. How would, I mean, I'm asking you a follow-up question. This is my podcast now.
All right.
How would you advise somebody new in the industry break into that network of vetted folks? What is the best way for somebody to become established?
Patreon would be a valuable tool because you're going to have a whole network built into Patreon, and it's
and he means joining one, not starting one.
Thank you.
Right. Joining one. Okay. Patreon. Join a Patreon. And I'm not just talking about mine. Like, just join any of them. And then there's a whole network of people that are in there, and you'll start getting the feel for everyone that way. And that would be the best advice in today's market, in my opinion. What's yours, Adam?
No, I do agree with you. I think while I don't follow that completely myself, I think Patreons are a good like community source that you can instantly kind of go check a few out, find the community you like and settle with them. It is a good place to be. I think commenting like on photos that or reels that you may see on Instagram, like somebody does something cool and you just go, wow, hey, that's giving little compliments. Right. And kind of just starting those relationships. You never know what can turn into something with somebody. Right. And so I think somebody new coming in, going to the reptile shows is another huge one because you can actually go in person, see that person. And there's just something about communicating with people in person that you get way more about than just like over the phone or a quick message or something like that. So I think the reptile shows, showing up to those, commenting, and then Patreon is kind of how I'd break in as a new person.
I love that.
And there's a disclaimer here. I hate to say it, but sometimes you learn the lessons the hard way. And that's just, I don't know, it kind of happens along the way. You choose to like save money because it's half price from somebody you don't know over here. And then you get the animal, it's emaciated, full of mites. And then you start learning those lessons like, hey, I should just go with the established, reputable people and the people that surround them. And, you know, and unfortunately it happens. And
sure.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. And I love everything you both just said. And it's very validating because I tell all of my clients to do everything that you just said. And that's the most powerful form of marketing yourself, is putting your name out there, commenting, engaging, building. Adam, we're going back to your old man use of social media. Yeah. build a network, make connections. That is the best way to break in and to be successful, is to build a community. And that's really my whole job, is to help people do that and to show them how. So both of those answers were incredibly validating.
Something I forgot to say though too is when I was first getting in, something I did was I looked at breeders that were in like a 6-hour driving distance from me. And I would go buy animals and drive to them, kind of like what Adam was saying, so I could meet them face to face. So then that way I'm establishing a relationship face to face. Yeah, it took me a whole day to drive there and back, but they'll remember me versus just some message somewhere online, you know?
That's awesome.
Then you get the vibe from them at that point too. It's like, man, maybe I don't want to do business with that guy again, or maybe this is the guy I want to do business with for a long time.
Yeah. Smart. And you get to see their facility. That's smart. You know, go where they're doing their business.
Yep. Yeah. I would be jealous of somebody coming in right now that was just starting out, especially because of all of the different morphs that are out there, the plethora of help that exists, like all the different AIs and different things like that. Like I'm part of a few different Instagram groups, and there's some newer people and veterans in them. And some of the newer people are like, hey, AI is telling me this. Can I validate that with y'all? Right. And most of it's pretty spot on. There's been some kind of wild stuff thrown out from ChatGPT, but more times than not, it's pretty accurate. And that's pretty amazing to me that literally somebody that knew absolutely nothing 30 minutes ago could sit down with an AI and at least have a starting idea and go out and buy some projects and breed. Right. It's pretty cool. But the networking side of things, forming relationships, that hasn't changed. And no matter what technology is out there, it's all kind of the same. Right. You know, what you put out is kind of what you get. So, hey, smile more, people. Don't be afraid to smile. Right.
Be friendly. It's hard. The something that I've gotten from almost everybody I've talked to is I'm an introvert and everybody's introverted and they don't want to talk and they don't want to do things. And they're so relieved that they can sell animals from home behind a screen. And it's hard because I tell them the same thing. That's tough. I respect your introvertedness, your introversion, but you have to make connections with people and that has to be real and authentic because that's where you find success.
Yeah. And like you said, pick your goal, right? If your goal is just to be a keeper collector, hey, great, right? Sure. And if you don't like the interface, I'm sure there's avenues to be successful doing that. Just don't expect the plug and play that everybody else is doing to work for you as well.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And Corey too. Yeah, that's a great point out. There's a ton of content on YouTube. It's, you know, straining content these days is probably more of a skill than just watching and digesting it, right? Like, there's been some info that's come out that is really like, I'm like, holy cow, who told you that? Well, I watched it on YouTube and it's like, oh, son of a. Oh. Well, where do you put your content? YouTube, but you should listen to me, not that guy. You know?
That's part of the learning process too, though. You're like, oh man, that was bad info. So maybe I shouldn't watch that channel anymore and I should watch these channels over here. I mean, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
You know what's sick? I validate. This is not a surefire validation tool, but it has worked for me several times and it involves AI. If I find out some piece of information that sounds a little far-fetched or just a little odd, I will ask ChatGPT to validate it against Reddit. So if you ask Chat to search the internet and scrape Reddit, it'll give you an idea of what a majority of people are saying. It'll give you the dissent and it's awesome. It's great. It's combing Reddit, but condensed. It'll give you a preview. It's awesome.
Yeah. I've been using Gemini a lot lately and I love its live reading of YouTube videos. Mm. So I can grab a link and tell it summarize and it'll sit there and just pump out summaries and then highlights for me. And so, you know, it takes 30-minute videos and then I can quickly read through what I want. That's been pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I haven't tried pitting the AIs against each other though.
You should. It's really great. And it gives you an
Chat
idea.
ChatGPT says this, Gemini, what do you think?
Yes. Yes. Totally. Totally. Pit them against each other. See what they do. I love this.
The War of the Worlds. Oh no. Yes. Terminator.
Terminator. Everything explodes. Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Oh man. Well, we have encroached a little over the hour. We do like to, you know, be respectful to everybody and their time. Megan, is there anything that we haven't talked about that. Maybe you've been itching to say before we jump into a little new segment that we have planned.
So. Oh, man, you guys have asked such thoughtful questions. You've let me ask questions of you. I think we've really covered it. I'm eager to hear about this new segment.
All right. Well, we're gonna. It's nothing new and not like that crazy. We're just gonna do a fire round because they're fun, right? And podcasts have to have fire rounds, so we're bringing the fire round back. And these are gonna be some, just you know, some yeah. Try and think of something fun to say. And here you go. First question up: if your snake had a Tinder profile, what would its one line bio be?
Oh my God, what a great question. I'm also a copywriter, so I want to go sit down and write out about 1,000 answers so I could give you something really juicy and good. A Tinder profile, what would it say?
Yep.
The first thing I can think of is not breeding age, but almost.
I like it. There you go. There you go.
Underage is the answer.
I like it. All right. Next question. You have to take one reptile to a fancy dinner party as your plus one. Who do you bring to cause the least amount of chaos?
Oh, I have the sweetest ball python downstairs. She is a young angel. That's an easy answer.
Not the beardy.
Bless him. Not the beardy. Not the beardy.
What's your ball python's name?
Guinevere.
Guinevere.
Okay. Guinevere. She's good a name. Blue-eyed Lucy. Thank you.
Yeah. Very nice. I like it. All right. Third question. Your ball python discovers online shopping. What's the first thing it impulse buys from Amazon?
A tiny hide. One she cannot fit under, but she's going to try.
A little thimble as a hide.
Thimble. A thimble. And she's going to squeeze herself into it and under it.
I've actually seen that on a YouTube video. It was a full-grown female ball python with one of those little coconut hides right on top of her.
Yes. Yes. Too real.
At least she felt safe, you know.
Yep. So.
All right, so this is the most important question of the night right here. Ancient aliens or Bigfoot?
Oh, I believe in Bigfoot. I don't believe in ancient aliens, but I'm...
Oh, my goodness. That's it. Get her off the show.
Do I love watching ancient aliens? Yes. Sign me up. I will sit there and watch the whole thing. Do I believe it? No. But Bigfoot? Bigfoot's real. I don't know.
All right. This is America.
It, Shane. We got Ashley for aliens. I know Shane and I are aliens over here. So.
Love it. Love it. Aliens are also real. Do I need to clarify? Aliens are real. Ancient aliens building things on Earth. I don't know. We can have a whole other podcast episode about that. Sign me up.
Yeah, yes, we could.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get us started. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes.
Sign me up. Love it. Love it.
All right. Well, thank you for participating in the Reptiles Unplugged 2.0 fire round questions.
Oh, man. They were great questions. Thank you for them. I loved answering them.
Oh, man. There you go, Chris. You are correct. You could believe in both. But, you know.
No, this is tribalism in America. We got to divide, you know. We don't. Yeah, no, exactly. No unity.
Exactly. Conflict. Aggression. Yes.
Definitely. Division. Let's do this.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it. All of it. Lean in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Megan, I've had an excellent time with you tonight. Thank you so much for spending your evening with us and answering our questions, asking us some great thought-provoking questions. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. This has been a joy. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, all right. Shane, anything you'd like to leave us with? Any words of wisdom? Put you on the spot real quick.
Ancient aliens would be more plausible than Bigfoot.
That's there it is. Y'all have heard it on Reptiles Unplugged. With that, you guys have a great night.